Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography Podcast. Today, we're interviewing 95% Lauren, pocket-sized power thought, cosplay performer, model entertainer, content creator, charity bug aerialist, dice goblin, hot mess, and skin suit wearer. How's things today, Lauren?
It's a good day. It is a good day. The sun is kind of shining, and I woke up to oxygen, so woot.
You know, I actually read somewhere that that's a really healthy way to look at things, because just by being alive, you're better off than like 99% of the people that ever lived on the earth. Some people see it as dark, but I don't know.
I like it.
All right, well, today we're going to discuss cosplay. I am folding the standard questions in, as after the last 10 episodes or so, I'm not terribly thrilled with the way it flows before we jump into the interview. And everybody really cares about the main stuff anyways, so straight to it. So, cosplay. For the uninitiated among us, what the hell is cosplay?
Oh, man. So cosplay, like any other art form, very hard to nail down that definition. But in my experience, cosplay is the activity of wearing the outfit of a character that you like in a universe or fandom that you enjoy. So say you like Dragon Ball Z and want to dress up like Goku. Fuck yeah. Like, maybe you don't have the ability to get a hold of all of the pieces, so you just wear the wig and you do a casual version. Basically, cosplay is the ability to show and share your fandom with others. That's my thought.
My problem with being Goku is I can't glow. That's really the problem.
It's got to be over 9,000.
Over 9,000. All right. How long have you been doing cosplay?
Unofficially for most of my life. And by that, I mean I took Halloween entirely too seriously, would plan months in advance what I was going to be, got the perfect outfits, tailored things, painted things, you know, just the whole nine. But officially, since about 2014, this is when we went to our first convention. I guess we went to our first convention and then guested that same year at our first convention.
Cosplay is Halloween writ large. It is taking the best holiday and just extending it out to the rest of the year.
Absolutely. And spending way, way too much time, energy, and effort on the things that you love for said event.
So were you doing this before you were a model or after you started modeling, or is it kind of tied together?
Before, actually. So, like most nerds, geeks, what have you. Grew up, was pretty ostracized, made fun of, bullied. So, kind of looked for an outlet to kind of just be myself. So, fell into the Renaissance Fair circuit. Started performing in the Renaissance Fair, did that for 10 years. And realized that I could be anything I wanted to be if I committed to that. So I said, oh man, I want to dress up like Lulu from the Fifth Element. I want to do the whole jelly suspender thing. I'm going to hand color a wig. Took me 3 years to do that. And I still haven't completed the cosplay because, you know, mental blocks. But that's ultimately what got me into it. And my husband and I are big Song of Ice and Fire fans. And when they came out with the announcement that Game of Thrones was going to be a television show and they had reference images for Daenerys and Khal Drogo, we were like, fuck, this is our chance. Let's do this.
That's perfect.
And so we dove right into it. Leather work, real, real cowhide, did everything from scratch, got the lace front wigs, and went to our first con and we're just fucking addicted. And then jumped immediately into Borderlands and haven't looked back since. Came before modeling. Gave me my wings. Gave me my confidence to start modeling.
I feel like every adult reaches a point in their life where they realize, just in some blinding flash of insight, or like, you know what? I don't have to do what society tells me.
Yeah. It was huge. Wait, I can play dress up. I can go out in public. Like this?
It's popular now.
Yeah. Nailed it.
So is this full-time or supplemental for you?
So this is, I guess you consider it supplemental because it isn't really a source of income for us. Just simply because when we go and guest at conventions, when they conventions bring us on for entertainment, we're there just performing for charity. We want to raise awareness for charities that are local to us, that are animal based. And so we're out there being loud and proud and being super obnoxious, and drawing attention to those things. So I would say that it's more supplemental than anything, because performance is our ultimate passion and cosplay is our biggest outlet for that.
Well, that answers the next question, passion or business.
Oh, geez. Sorry.
No. It's more efficient that way. So in terms of an art form, would you say that, how to phrase this? People tend to get really kind of hung up in like almost a hierarchy of art forms where, you know, things like painting is, you know, older and more well respected, and photography is something the proletariat do. Like, where does cosplay kind of fit on that, and where should it fit, do you think?
That's a really super deep question, actually. Because cosplay kind of toes the line. Okay, so there's cosplay photography, which is basically like take pictures of the character, of the person cosplaying as this character in the poses that the character uses, right? We all know they're all going to be the same. All Harley Quinns pose with the hammer over their shoulder. It's known, you know? And with like artistic nudity or boudoir or anything like that, you have a focus of playing with light and creating something visually stunning with that light and that subject. And cosplay can bend the two. What I have loved, Ethan and I have loved doing really, is blending that line. We did that with our ongoing series, the Cosplay Bodyscapes. So we love that series. We had this idea. We're like, hey, how do we communicate a character with as little clothing as possible, but still recognizable in the bodyscape photography style? And so that got a lot of traction because it blended the two styles and satisfied both the cosplay community and the photography community. Whereas I feel like the hardcore fine art photography community kind of snubs their nose at cosplay because it's kind of easy because you have something interesting. It's a costume. You're a different person. Of course it's going to be interesting. So I think that cosplay has the ability to bring the two together. I know that was a long walk for a short drink of water. Sorry about that.
No, I find it interesting that fine art photographers have that feeling. We mentioned before we started, I don't know that much about cosplay, but I do know that cosplayers spend hundreds of hours. I was doing some research for this podcast and somebody was talking about they spent 300 hours on their Lucio costume. And just like, that seems like way more work than I get it. It's mm-hmm. not just taking a picture. There's, you know, knowledge of light and other things behind it, but one of them seems like it's a lot more work than the other.
Right. And you're making the outfit, you're making your wig, you're dyeing the fabric, you're sewing, you're crafting with foam or leather. And what's really great about cosplay is you don't have to necessarily make everything, you know? Like, I'm the type of person, I love supporting independent creators because I feel like people, as you said earlier, deserve their worth. And when I see that someone's passionate about something that they're creating, I want to facilitate that. So most of the pieces that I have, at least one or two pieces on each cosplay I have, is made by somebody else that loved making it and got paid to do it, you know, because that kind of stuff makes me want to throw my head, rip my head off my shoulders and throw it at the wall. Like, I am too sensitive to build some shit from scratch.
Well, and there's also, you know, people that enjoy the making part but don't want to perform themselves. So
right. And it means different things for different people. A lot of people are about those big armor builds. A lot of people are about having it be completely screen accurate. Other people like to do things called mashups where they take two fandoms and put them together, like Cinderella Jedi or some fancy ass shit like that. Other people like to do fan art renditions, or people like Ethan and I who like to perform, or people that like to do their own mods, inspired by casual cosplay. It can mean so many things to so many different people. And that's why it's so great.
I didn't know how badly I wanted a brown coat Star Wars crossover until just now.
Chase that dream, boo. Chase it. Write it down. Put it into the universe.
Oh, I'm sure it's been done. Rule 34. It's been done. It's been photographed. It's been turned into porn.
Not about if it's been done before. It's whether or not it makes you happy.
Fair enough. So cosplay has been something that was kind of on the edges of the internet, you know, 5-10 years ago, but it's really blown up and gone mainstream the last couple of years. Or is that just my perception?
I think you've got it right, because cons have always been a thing. Conventions, comic conventions have always been a thing. But now we have the convention circuit blowing up, gaining popularity, gaining promoters, and new ones popping up everywhere. I mean, until COVID, when the world stopped breathing. But, you know, conventions everywhere. And people are like, oh, I want to make this to this. And really gave a resurgence to that dress up. Because, I mean, you know, you had Trekkie conventions. You know, you had all kinds of pop culture conventions. But I think people are just less afraid of judgment now. So there are more people doing it.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting you mentioned the Trekkie conventions. I'm almost certain they were first, as you know, documented in that classic documentary, Galaxy Quest.
Absolute beauty that is Galaxy Quest.
I actually took my kids to the Baltimore Comic Con like 2 years ago, and we were planning on going back last year, and yeah, COVID. We'll have another chance.
Yeah. And then we'll do that cosplay you were talking about. enable. Okay.
Hey, how has the cosplay world changed since you started in 2014?
I think in 2014, I was really worried about people liking me. I was really worried about, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to perform. I wanted to act like these characters. It was therapy for me. It was great to alleviate social anxiety and work through all that shit, as well as build up my confidence to be okay just being myself in public. You know, I hid behind this mask for the longest time. So my perception of the cosplay scene, I feel, is kind of skewed. I tend to be a kind of keep to yourself type of person anyway. But I can attest to, I feel that cosplay cliques have just blown the fuck up. And what I mean by that is, like, this whole circle jerk of support between certain tiers of cosplayers. So you have the ultra famous cosplayers that this is their full-time living, you know, that may have made books, that are huge names at conventions, make hundreds of thousands of dollars per month. And then you have, you know, people who are crafting focused. They're just different sects of the cosplay community. And I feel like the cliques have really kind of dug the roots in. Instead of accepting everybody else for the way that they are, they'll trash talk other communities or other sects of the community, or, you know, practice this clout and elitism that just stifles anyone who isn't in that follower range. And because when I first started, it felt like everybody was just like, oh, you are who you are. That's awesome. You do that. But now it's like, you are who you are. You're cutting into my business. Or you are who you are, and I don't like that, you know? And I don't know, maybe that's just, I'm viewing through the lens of isolation and change that has come with the past year and a half or whatever. What's time anyway? So I'm not sure if I'm viewing it through that lens or if that's really a perception that is valid.
Yeah. I can definitely see where that would be an issue for sure. But I'm honestly sitting here thinking, and maybe I'm just being super rosy and optimistic, which I know is weird during COVID time. But I'm also simultaneously thinking, what a time to be alive, that you can make a living dressing up as your favorite, you know, fantasy character, when 200 years ago we all would have been on the farm somewhere, you know, mucking out pig shit.
Right. And I love that. that's the mentality Ethan and I always have. We're like, ooh, we're able to go out and do things and have fun and have this solid escapism. And we should just support everybody else doing that thing. We're all, in the end, adults playing dress up. It should be fun. That's why we're here. And a lot of people, I think, stifle that fun by, I mean, you got the capitalism that's attached to it. Of course, any business needs hustle, but it removes, I guess, the rarity, the joy when you're just pumping it out without any feeling behind it. Does that make sense?
I think so. So you mentioned Ethan a couple times, and yeah. You called him out as your husband, I believe. I hope so.
Yes, he's the who's bomb.
He's not the boyfriend.
No, he is not.
So I just have to call out for everybody that's listening. I'm sure Lauren will give this out at the end, but also her Thousand Faces Cosplay IG account. You have to go and you have to check out Ethan as Sagat, because, oh my God, that is one hunk of man.
I'm lucky. I'm a lucky lady. We've been together for almost 13 years. And
it's forever these days, it seems like.
I know, right? We started dating in like 2009, and we got married in 2014 on May the 3rd, because May the 4th was already a sacred day.
Very nice.
Already a sacred day. And I can just tell you, this fucking guy, man, this fucking guy, he is an amazing hard worker. He advocates for those whose voices aren't heard. He always speaks up for what's right. And boy, he has got a really nice ass.
It's a cherry on top.
You can see, right? He's just a stellar human, and he's banging. Like, the fuck?
Rare.
His Sagat, he was actually, that was right after, I believe, he won the Missouri State Bodybuilding Competition for his division, Classic Physique. And so he still had this stage tan, and he was like, oh, fuck it, I'm doing Sagat, and just decided. And so he went to the park, and I was Cammy, and he was Sagat, and he just fucking rocked it out. When he wants to do something, he does it. It's awesome.
Yeah. My wife and I were actually talking about this, because typically in most over-sexualized, you know, cosplay costumes, it's cleavage for the women. And, you know, they're always, you know, it's butts and cleavage. And I was like, what is the equivalent of butts and cleavage for male cosplayers? And the answer was obvious. It's abs.
Abs. Yep. 100%.
All right. So enough me fanboying over him. The podcast is about you, not him. Why are we
literally
even
fanboy about him all day, and I would be happy.
But let's talk some more detail and mechanics on cosplaying. How do you choose who to cosplay?
Okay, so everybody's got their own little process, but Ethan and I are very, very hard on this. We only cosplay people we're like fucking obsessed with. Like, because when we're performing for generally 12 hours a day. We don't break character. We're doing the voice. We're doing the walk. We're doing the laugh. We're doing the lines. And you really have to love a character if you're going to spend that much time with them. So I like to joke that I've got a very specific type, and it's the crazy girl. Okay. Cause I do Tiny Tina. I do Harley Quinn, Jinx from League of Legends. I do a Wasteland Alice. You know, and every character that I do is loud and crazy. I mean, I do have a type. I am loud and crazy. So let's translate that to the stage. But yeah, it's just people that we like, characters that we love. That's kind of why I haven't done Lilu yet from The Fifth Element. She is a character I love so much, I don't want to fuck her up. So I want to be sure I got it just right before she hits the floor.
You know, I hadn't actually thought about the performance part of it. The making sure you have, you know, catchphrases memorized, voices, laughs, mannerisms. Sounds a lot more like theater than I was expecting.
For us it is, because that's our background. Ethan was in theater all through high school. I was in theater. We joined the Renaissance Fair. That's theater in the round. We're theater kids. So that's why I was saying, like, cosplay, it means something different for everybody. You know, for most people, it's, hey, just wear the costume and show up. For us, it's be the character, push that presence.
Yeah, that's interesting that you specifically go for people that reflect yourself internally rather than trying to become someone else. I assume there's probably people that do the opposite and are specifically looking to try on a personality they don't normally have.
Right. I mean, it's fun to be whoever you want, whenever you want. But when I first started cosplaying, I wanted to learn about myself too, because I was afraid to be myself. I was hiding behind these other characters in an attempt to keep myself safe. Why? And so through these characters that I played, I was able to analyze myself and learn more about myself. And it's been cool. Cosplay's been a real homie, you know?
So where do the costumes come from?
Everywhere. It depends on the costume. So a lot of our costumes are custom made pieces, like from scratch, that I have picked out the fabric for. I've picked out the trim for. Wigs are styled by me. Anything that's painted on, it's painted by either Ethan or myself. But we're not really good at the sewing part or the making shit happen with foam part. So a lot of our pieces are 3D prints from someone else that we've painted and sanded and worked together. Or we have like a metal milled full size replica functioning, not functioning as in like shooting, Zarya gun from Overwatch. It's milled with metal. It weighs 32 pounds. It's got a working motor inside of it that makes all the lights work. That was a labor of love over about a year between him and a friend of ours that used to work at Boeing, and he had an Axis CNC machine. So, in his garage. So we built that bitch. And then we built the Buzz Axe from Borderlands 2. But like things like Ethan's Kratos, that was made by our wonderful friends, Terrible Trio Creations, who are fucking bomb humans, amazing cooks, great Dungeons and Dragons party members, and fantastic leather workers. My Tiny Tina from Borderlands 3, made entirely by them with foam. But it's usually a collaboration between artists that I love and friends and us. Which it just makes it so much better when you're wearing it and you're like, oh, I look so good. You're like, oh, my friend made that. Go follow my friend. They're super, super awesome. So it makes it super nice. It just depends on the costume. And some are from like Amazon that I've re-sewn together or glued together or stapled together or painted or, you know, used it as a base or like all kinds of shit.
Interesting. So it sounds like there's a whole cottage industry that's kind of sprung up around this. Are people building lots of one-offs, or are they trying to, you know, crank out an assembly line so everybody can do whatever's popular that year?
So what's really cool is due to the popularity of cosplay and crafting and all that, lots of people make money making tutorials or doing YouTube tutorials or building PDF books or designing things in web programs for 3D prints. I know that Etsy is a huge cosplay wonderland because you have so many different variations because people put their own spin on stuff, or they're really good at making bodysuits. Like there's the woman who makes my Harley Quinn bodysuit, Sinsukt, she makes exclusively Harley Quinn stuff, and she's amazing at it. That's what she loves to do, and that's how she makes her living.
That sounds amazing.
But people make props, I've got a friend. My friend Adam Watney makes replica Star Wars blasters. I mean, like, just like amazing. These people are able to pursue their passions and be surrounded by their fandoms and make things with their hands. It's so cool. All because of cosplay. Or because of the popularity of being themselves, which is nice.
You know, I'm noticing that I have a distinct lack of different voices for the podcast, and I'm feeling kind of inadequate.
I do voices.
That's fair. All right. So we talked We talked kind of costuming. We talked about your theater background and like the performing. What about the makeup? Do you guys do it yourself or is there somebody you know that does your makeup?
Oh man, I wish. So my best friend in real life, Sally Quinn Creations, she is an amazing body painter and she has helped us do several pieces. She painted Ethan on stage at a convention to be the Thing. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. So she's done that for him and she's also painted him as Kratos. But other than that, we've done all the makeup ourselves.
Was he wearing pants on the stage?
He was. Yeah. Damn. Sadly.
All right.
I know. And those legs, baby, they're coming in nice this year. Mm.
All right. So let's say that you're listening to the podcast today and you've somehow never heard of cosplay, or maybe this podcast is finally giving you like, you know what? I'm going to do it. That sounds amazing. What do they do? What do they do to get started?
Well, I always say, pick a character. That's what I say. Get excited about a character. Make a list of characters that you're like, ooh, I'd like to do this one day. A lot goes into that, depending on what the individual person likes, like whether or not they're like, hey, I really want to be exactly what it looks like on the screen, or I want to be exactly what it looks like in the comic, or I want to do this version or that version. But just basically, pick a character. Start looking at things. Decide how you want to build. Do you want to create it from scratch yourself? If so, start figuring out what you got to build from scratch and look up tutorials for each thing. How to make pants, how to make shield out of foam. There, YouTube is your friend. And then from there, just start budgeting. Budget for what you really want. Because let's be honest, not going to sugarcoat this. Shit don't come for free. That's why I always say pick a character you love, because you're going to be spending money, time, and energy with that character.
All right.
That's what I'd say. Just make a list.
Yeah. So we're doing Jane from Firefly, except he's fat and old.
You're like, I want to do what suits my body type. Okay, cool. Here we go. Done. Okay. So we got fat Thor. We've got, there's a whole group we've opened up here.
I mean, we could do Sonic if he was a 40-year-old middle-aged Batman.
He can be. You can make that a reality. The world deserves to see it. You know?
I don't know. They'll be looking for the eye bleach after that. But, all right.
Does not advocate eye bleach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This podcast is not medical advice.
I am not a doctor.
No. All right. So, you know, this person's inspired. They picked a character. They budgeted. They've devoted the time. They built up the costume. They've worked on their mannerisms. You know, they've memorized the catchphrases. They laugh in the exact same tone as their hero. Where do they show it off?
Well, if their intention is to perform, there are lots of ways to do that. For most cosplay, not everyone wants to perform. Not a lot of people in cosplay like to perform because it puts a lot of pressure on them. And what I find really great is for most people that like to do cosplay, anyone who likes to do cosplay, any kind, there are groups on Facebook. There are groups on Twitter. There are groups anywhere that you can join that are local to your area. St. Louis Cosplay Group, Star Wars Cosplay Group, Tekken Cosplay Group. There is a group for every fandom, and people will post about their progress on their costumes. They'll talk about things they like in the shows. Sometimes they'll show you how to build a prop that they're doing. Join those groups. You don't have to interact. You can just fucking float along and just be eyeballs on that. You don't have to put words to anything, but you're going to learn so much. And people in those groups are going to post local events. Hey, we're doing a picnic meetup in the park at noon on Saturday. You know, show up in your favorite anime cosplay. That's an opportunity to do something like that. The biggest way to do it is conventions. Comic conventions, pop culture conventions, anime conventions, anything that's got convention in it is usually gonna be understanding of someone dressing up. And cosplay, specifically at pop culture and other comic style conventions, is always welcome. It's always appreciated. You're always going to see someone that is dressed the same as you. Go into it thinking, I'm going to do this for fun. I'm going to do this for me, not because I want to compare myself to other people or whatever. Do it for fun. Don't do it for fame. Do it for fun, because that's what's going to make it a good activity for you, right? We're all trying to get out of that. I mean, we're not all getting out of this, but we should try to get out as happy as possible.
Yeah, I used to go to Grand Prix for Magic the Gathering, and I know cosplayers started to show up there. Yeah. I don't remember what year, but yeah, there's like one or two people, and then they started paying them to come in. It was very cool.
It's really awesome, and there are all kinds of opportunities like that. Like Free Comic Book Day. Most any store that sells comics or Funko Pops or collectibles or anything like that, CDs, DVDs, they're going to have a Free Comic Book Day event. And you can call and be like, hey, do you need volunteers for this? Hey, are you looking for people for this? You can join charity groups. There are always everywhere cosplayers for charity that their whole mission is to go to events that raise money for charities. And that can include hospital visits for kids. And that's on a volunteer basis. But you can get out there and do the things that you want, or have fun, or make a positive impact, or, you know, use your fandom for good. There are options out there.
So I think the mention of children and visiting children as a cosplayer is the perfect time to suddenly take a 90-degree right turn and talk about erotic cosplay.
Sweet. That's dope too. Let's get down on some of that.
Yeah, this is the Not Safe for Work podcast. After all, we have to do something other than just cuss up a storm. So
that's true, which I have done heartily.
You know, I feel like a lot of people come on here and they feel like they're a little bit of afraid to really cut. And I get it. I work in corporate America. Corporate America really tries to drum cussing out of you.
Trying to dehumanize a little bit.
Probably. So erotica and cosplay, how do they go together? Do they go together like peanut butter and jelly, or is it two things that don't belong together that people have smashed together?
Okay. So you said earlier that rule 34 yeah. It exists. Okay. There's another rule. If it exists, there's a porn for it. And let's be honest, my dudes, I know you think about Velma that way. I know you think about Daphne and Velma. I know you're thinking about the entire Mystery Machine getting down on some happy dancy times. And that's where I come in, because I'm going to capitalize on that, because I am a nerd. I grew up in these fandoms. I fucking had a hard-on for Velma too, okay? So why don't we just throw on an orange sweatshirt and a cute little bob wig and do the dirty, you know? People love their fandoms. It all comes back to that. I love my fandoms. That's why I'm having solo happy time dressed as fucking Velma with a mirror in front of me. Let's be real, you guys.
What was it about Velma? Daphne was never as hot.
Because Daphne, she had that bodycon dress, right? But you could not tell what Velma looked like under there. You couldn't.
Yeah. Did you see the first live action movie? I don't remember the actress that played her, but holy shit, I had the biggest crush in high school. I went and saw that movie like 10 times.
She was in Grandma's Boy too. Ugh, so good.
Linda Cardellini, that's it.
Yes. Yes, because Sarah Michelle Gellar was Daphne. Yeah. Perfect choice, by the way.
It was, and Freddie Prinze Jr. as Fred. Perfect choice. Matthew Lillard, he was great. They were all so great, good. But I only wanted to bang one of them.
Right, same. Same.
Huh. Interesting.
But yeah, so cosplay comes into that because anybody can make porn, right? It's everywhere. Naked folks on the internet, peen in vagine, the two girls, one. Yeah, you know, we can find it on the internet.
I didn't have to mention that one. Oh, no.
You're welcome. The scarring is completely complimentary with my service. But, like, yeah, why not be a character for set? Like, sure, we have our videos where it's just us, but it's always kind of fun to dress up and be somebody different. He's calling me Harley. Okay, pull my pigtails, button. Come on. You know, like, it's fun. Everybody gets a little bored. You know? I mean, our sex life is great. But the reason why we started sexualizing some of these characters is because it was fun. And a lot of people do get huge traction on cosplay-based OnlyFans pages because not only do you get to see an average everyday person, but you get to see that average everyday person dressed up as somebody else sometimes. So it's like you're getting more than just the one you're paying for, if that makes sense. I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah, I guess an orgy in the Mystery Machine is a little more exciting than your standard nurse, doctor, or boss secretary cosplay.
Yeah, because, yeah, you're right. Or Velma dressed as a nurse. That's a whole different thing.
Oh, God, now we're on meta. Like meta cosplay.
They will, yeah, that's what it is. It's like they'll have the characters dressed up as other things. Like during Easter, it's like every fucking character is a bunny. It's a version of a bunny. You've got Bunny Harley. You've got Bunny Red Sonja. You've got Bunny Cammy. You've got Bunny Arya. Bunny White Walker. You know, like bunny everybody.
And now we can stack it on top of other kinks too. We can have like cuckold Daphne on Fred.
Like, or Shibari Velma.
Shibari Velma, yeah. This is limitless.
Absolutely limitless. And it's great to be able to have this form of self-expression that doesn't really have a limit. It doesn't. It really doesn't. It's fun. It's fun stuff.
So I have a quick point of clarification. I've seen it. Like, I called it erotica in cosplay. I've seen it called Eros cosplay. I've seen people call it lewds. What's generally, when you're performing, what's kind of the accepted term of art?
So it's interesting because you have porn cosplay. So porn in cosplay. And then you have like those sexy pictures that are like nude, but you have the wig and like, say it's Chun-Li, so you have the wig and you have the bracelets.
That's another good one.
And then like a blue bikini. Those are lewds. I don't know really about Eros cosplay. Because I, like I said earlier, I kind of don't get entrenched too much in the community. I kind of just do my thing and put it out there and hope it goes okay. Because that's how I create. That's just the hot ADHD, anxiety, depression, whatever this mess is. That's just how I am. So Eros sounds right because it comes from Greek mythology. So naturally it must be right.
If we're going by the old and fanciful, sure.
Yeah. The pinkies out kind of stuff.
Oh, always. Yep. The more Latin you can fit in there, the better. The more Greek.
Yeah. Way smarter you sound.
And that's what's important.
I mean, it's all about how you present yourself. It doesn't matter if you're really trash. As long as you pretend like you're not, it's fine. That's a joke. I don't condone not being who you are. Sorry about that.
All right. We were talking a lot about cons before. Are there conferences specifically devoted to erotic cosplay?
So a lot of people will take their more erotic or sexualized cosplays to conventions. They won't wear them on the con floor, but they'll wear them for the after party. Or they'll bring them to the con and hook up group shoots with other people, other cosplayers in those outfits, right? But porn conventions, cosplaying has started to get fucking huge. A lot of porn stars or playmates or any sort of triple X content creator is cosplaying now because it taps into a market that is, like I said earlier, limitless. There's no limits to it. So mostly just porn conventions, I think, right now for Eros specific cosplay, because most conventions are family friendly, except for the after parties. So get it on over there.
Yeah, I have a, it's funny how often you see the Mythical after party mentioned on Reddit.
Oh my God.
There's always some, yeah. Anyways.
Always an event. It's always an event.
Where was I gonna? Okay, so we talked a little bit about, you know, combining cosplay and kink and cosplay and fetish stuff. So where do furries fall in this? Is that considered cosplay or is that something else?
So furries are, you know, regular cosplayers, people who are non-furries, demonize furries so much because furries are a different kind of performer. Generally, furries are performers. With cosplay, you have fewer performers than you have people just wearing a costume. With furries, they become what they call their fursona. This character they've either created in their mind or from a show, usually from their own mind. And they walk around in a fursuit. And they give nose boops and do have squeaky noises or... You know, they always have a story about their character or art of their character. Furries are this whole other level, dude. In my experience, they've been incredibly kind people. But you always hear about the furry sex parties. And really, think about it. Anybody who's got a kink is going to want to engage in said kink, okay? And they want a safe place to be able to do it in. And when furries are all together, it's all this, it's all... cut from the same cloth, and they're safe. That's their fursona, their the head that they wear, the costume they wear. That's their armor that protects them, so they can feel more open and more safe, while still being vulnerable. Does that make sense? That's at least been my experience in my conversations with furries.
I mean, we all wear armor, but yeah, most of it's not quite as visible as theirs.
I agree.
I'm a big proponent of we're all actors and, you know, everything. We act differently at work. We act differently at home. We're always just playing a role.
Rush has a great line, all the world's a stage and we are merely players. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. Because Rush is amazing.
All right. We are just about out of time. We got two more questions to take a quick answer for, and then we're going to cut on out of here. So last two questions. Who do you look up to in modeling?
In modeling,
or you know what, or cosplay. We're talking cosplay.
So there are a lot of people in the cosplay community I really look up to, and most are like big builders. So I really look up to Brittany Ganoza cosplay. She makes all of her these huge armor builds from scratch, from foam, and then she paints them, and they look like they're out of the fucking game. I have many of her pieces in my house, including Tiny Tina's Boom Puppy from Borderlands 2. Absolutely amazing human being. Incredibly kind, incredibly humble, and just talented out the ass. Does what she does because she loves it. So that's just one of the many people in the cosplay community. The modeling community, I'm a little more niche about because I'm an alternative model, which means that, you know, I'm not the... I don't want to sound like unaccepting or whatever. I'm alternative. I have short purple hair. I have tattoos. I cosplay. I wear leathers a lot. I do a lot of bondage work. I'm an alternative model. So I look up to alternative models like Ophelia Overdose. She's fucking amazing. And she is an amazing crafter, amazing human, practices mindfulness on a whole other level. I look up to her. She is unabashedly herself, and that's what I strive to be, you know? I am who I am. I've tried to go against the grain for 30 years. I think I'm going to start embracing it now. That and the Lara Amy. She is an amazing model as well, and she does a lot of out-of-the-box concepts. Gosh, there's so many. But I think Ophelia Overdose is probably my biggest inspiration. I've been following her for as long as she's been on the internet, and I just love everything that she does. and what she stands for and the love that she communicates in her work and in her words. I just fucking love that.
That sounds amazing. I just followed her on Instagram, so definitely be checking her out.
Amazing. Amazing.
All right. What's your favorite photo in your portfolio?
I don't really have one. Because my favorite photo tends to be the next one that I take. Because I've gotten into this whole let's build projects thing. And so a lot of my more recent stuff has been stuff that I have built from scratch, conceptualized, taking what I know and what I've learned through creating cosplay pieces and transforming that into original ideas for modeling. So I think the outfit, the picture that probably sparked that the biggest, it's what I call the glitter slut. It made cover of Misfit magazine. And it was also my first accepted publication. And it also made it into Femme Rebelle magazine, which was my first international publication. And it's me standing in front of a wall of CDs with a bunch of, I'm wearing holographic stuff. My hair is a purple pompadour. I'm barely covering the nips.
Do you remember before we started talking where I said colorful? Ooh, colorful?
Yeah.
That's what I was looking at.
Yep. Yeah, yep. That one, I'm usually all black. Like that's my aesthetic is all black, goth girlfriend, alt girl. But that was the first time I really embraced color. I had a concept in my mind that I wanted to create and I got it done. So I would say that is my most symbolic image right now. Other than any random picture of me doing dumb shit as Tiny Tina, like eating a cookie off of a convention floor or sleeping under a convention table. I don't know. Things like that.
All right. We're roaring through the time here, aren't we? All right. Well,
sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry. The absolute worst thing for a podcast host to have is a guest who doesn't have anything to say, because you just sit there and you get one word answers back and you got to like pry and pry. And I didn't have to do any work at all here. You just did it all for me. It was great. All right. So, Lauren, where can everyone find you online? Because everyone that listens to this is going to want to know all about that picture and they're going to want to know all about your cosplay.
Throw a stone anywhere in the internet and you'll find me. So all of my cosplay work is under the name Thousand Faces Cosplay. You can find me there. Twitch is Thousand Faces Cosplay. Instagram is Thousand Faces Cosplay, all spelled out, of course. And we're also on Hex and Skex. I'm forgetting the other one. That's not helpful. YouTube. I forgot YouTube. What? How did that happen? And on YouTube. For me, my modeling work specifically can be found on Gumroad. You can purchase individual photo sets. A lot of my not safe for work, uncensored content, you can purchase in full sets there. Or you have my OnlyFans page. I have both a paid and a free OnlyFans. The paid is obviously going to have your nip-nops and your V-vag and your boutoirs and your option for some extra special goodies. But the free ones were, it's basically my glorified Instagram page. Oh, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, but I hate Instagram because it hates me. You know? So follow me.
That seems to be the kind of going thing for people doing adult work these days is you have to be on Instagram because that's where all the photographers are, but you don't really want to be on Instagram.
I hate it so much. I hardly use it anymore. And everyone's like, that's a terrible business move. And I'm like, fuck it.
You know what I was thinking the other day? I was walking and I was listening because I keep hearing this complaint from models that I interview. And I was like, what if we could get something that was like a mashup of Instagram and like the ability to purchase like the photos directly from there, or like, you know, you put up one photo as your Instagram and you can like submit payment directly through the app to the model to get the rest of the set opened up for you, like right there on the app. So you don't have to go and do anything differently.
Gumroad does that, but it's not the same. It's not like a social networking site. Pornhub tried to do that, but you can see where that went.
Yeah. I miss Tumblr, really.
Too. Hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you have any ongoing projects you'd like to mention?
All of them. I am perpetually an ongoing project. Mental health is important. Keep that in mind, booze. And the Cosplay Bodyscape series, both Ethan and I love to do them. We have tons of him. His is Geralt from The Witcher. Oh, my God. Oof. Prepare yourself. So the Cosplay Bodyscapes are an ongoing project. We have a very long list. We're going to continue to add stuff to that. Probably our biggest project yet. Other than that, just working on cosplays, finishing up a Hela from Ragnarok. That's going to be Balashak Kala. And just going to cons and being able to perform again. That'll be really cool. And I'm learning how to do Lyra better than ever before, which is exciting. Life can be very exciting.
There's so much cool stuff to learn, and there's never enough time.
Never. Especially in, this is a whole other podcast topic, but especially in the system we live in. Grumble, grumble, throws rocks.
All right. And with that, we're done.
Sorry.
Before you break anything with your rocks, if you are a model or a photographer and you'd like to come on, you have a point of view, I would love to talk to you. Please come and check us out at the nsfwphotographypodcast.com, on Twitter as at nsfwphotography, Instagram as at the nsfwphotographypodcast, and subscribe at your favorite podcast app. I will talk to everyone in a couple of weeks. We're done. Adios.